Welcome to the third episode of the DB Media Podcast. We have five movies to be reviewing here today. We went to theaters and watched Terrifier 3. Dylan picked two movies for me. I picked two movies for him. And I picked Summer of 84 and Abigail. Tell them what you picked for me.
Every Which Way You Can and Every Which Way But Loose.
And we will be jumping right into Terrifier first. Yep. Now, the first half of our Terrifier review will be spoiler-free since it is a new movie.
Yep.
So, we'll go right ahead and start with a spoiler-free review. What did you think of Terrifier 3?
It's better than the first two. Story was a lot more developed, had a lot more gore, and kills were a lot more brutal.
Yeah, I 100% agree. They really fleshed out the story in this one. I know that one of the biggest complaints you see online is Terrifier is just a gore fest, and they really gave you a story. Not a lot.
Okay. The story is more developed. I wouldn't go and say that they got a big whole thing planned out.
It's
still a gore fest, but it's getting a more fleshed out story. I'm not sure how I feel about how the story is going. I would have preferred something more of like a Friday the 13th background.
Yeah, but the only problem with Friday the 13th is it's been done so many times.
It has.
You don't want it to be a carbon copy of Friday the 13th. I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but I disagree and I agree with you. I agree that there is more of a developed story, but I think it's a little more developed than what you're giving the credit for. It's not, like I said, not super developed, but I think they purposely left a lot of it open to interpretation. Like, a lot of it to theorize, because yep. Damon Leone, the guy who made the movie, he has publicly said, like, he's going to make, like, four or five of these movies.
Four or five?
Yeah.
This seems like one of those things that will just constantly go on, like, exactly like the 80s horror movies, like 15 or 14 of them.
Yeah, and in 20 years we'll probably get another remake of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree, though, with you. The gore was amazing in this one. The special effects, you can see a world of difference in that than the second one.
That is something that was what we're saying about 3 is just as true for 2 compared to 1.
Yeah, exactly.
As the movies go on, each of these aspects do get more and more better.
They're getting a bit bigger budget each time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're bound to get better. I also like how they also developed the relationships between the characters a lot more. We'll get more into that in our spoiler review.
Yep.
But they really fleshed out some relationships with the characters. Okay, so I think we should do our spoiler review now.
Yeah, spoilers ahead.
Spoilers ahead. Final warning.
Don't interrupt me.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, spoilers ahead. This is your final warning. My spoiler review is going to be, I love the kills. We're going to spoil some of the kills here. The biggest kill in this movie is the bathroom scene. The bathroom chainsaw.
That is definitely the biggest kill.
That was amazing. Now, I've seen people online compare it to the bedroom scene in the second one, because the big kill scene in the second one was the bedroom. And this one, I didn't want to see him cut a man in half with a chainsaw from his balls to his head. But when I saw him in the shower and he fell on the ground, I was like, that's a missed opportunity if you don't take it.
Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah, dick gone.
I mean, and it showed every bit of it. Like,
no party like a DD party.
I think Art is now becoming a horror icon. Like, he was last year, kind of.
Yeah.
But now he's really a horror icon. Like, you go into Hot Topic or...
Yeah, it's everywhere now.
Yeah. Like we said at the beginning, special effects are just getting better and better with these movies. There's a significant more amount of kills in this one than there was a second one.
Yeah.
Like this one, they just, every scene was like, how can we fit a kill in this scene?
Yeah.
Like, I know her and her brother are talking to college, but let's see how we can fit a kill in this scene.
Yeah, and there's something else I like about the Terrifier is like when it when it's not the kill moments, but it's just like something funny. Like in the second one, he's just sitting there trying on them glasses and stuff.
Yeah.
Like one of my favorite parts about this one was when he was standing outside that dorm listening to him, and just oh,
she was talking about, yeah, I'd screw him, and he was like,
no, he said he is giving him a bunch of conflicts, like how he's the biggest killer of the date and stuff, and then. Her boyfriend was like, sounds like you want to screw him. No, I don't want to fuck him. And
he just crosses his arms. That was hilarious. there's a real Joker comic aspect to Terrifier, or to Art.
Real quick, you said Joker, and it just clown went off in my head. I don't think Art is a clown.
No, I think he's a mime.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Yeah. He's a mime. He's all black and white, and he doesn't talk. He's a mime.
He's definitely a mime.
It never specifically... Well, no, a lot of the people call him a clown because of the makeup, but he...
He's a mime.
Yeah. Like, he can't say he's a mime.
He can't deny or accept
deny or confirm it. I mean, he could write it down, maybe.
Yeah, or he just shake his head.
Yeah.
So, while we're talking about the story, we'll get into a spoiler with the story. I think that they left a lot of it open to interpretation. Obviously, in the fourth one, we're going to hell.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way around that. It also tells about how...
Yeah, everybody who enjoys this movie is probably going to hell.
No. The story is going to hell in the fourth one. There's no way around that. I mean, the people who enjoy this movie probably are going to hell. But They tell more about Art's origin. Not really, but they do. Like, he was a seriously evil man in life, and it caught the attention of a demon, and that demon's kind of using him as, like, a vessel, or you maybe using him as a vessel. The story is still not fleshed out enough for me to
Can't remember if he's, like...
He's helping the vessel, or he is the vessel.
Yeah, I can't tell if he's a demon, or if he's, like, just an evil guy connected to hell. I mean, well, definitely after this one, he's born from a demon, technically.
Yeah, when she gives birth to him in the second one. So that's another thing. We also get the origin of the pale-faced girl from the second one.
Yeah.
They tell that she was Art's first victim.
She wasn't his first victim.
Yeah, in the not in the movie series, but in, like, the lore. If I made that up, because I'm pretty sure we saw a newspaper clipping, whenever they're looking for newspaper clippings, like her and her brother, that she was his first victim. I could have made that up in my head.
You probably did.
But I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Yeah, no, you're talking about the demon lady with the messed up face, right?
No, not her. The little girl from the second one. We see a newspaper clipping of her in the third one.
Oh.
That explains that she was Art's first victim.
No. She couldn't have been, because he was a famous killer in the second one. Because if you remember in the second one, the little boy was...
I don't know. I probably made that up. But I was convinced that's what I saw. But also, they also established in the lore that whoever helps him has to be killed by him. They also established that, like, Vicky, the girl with the messed up face, she was one of his victims. That has to be... If someone's going to be possessed by a demon to assist Art, it has to be one of his victims.
Hmm.
And the whole point is they're trying to break Sienna's spirit. And because, like, for every evil force, such as Art, there has to be a good force that will oppose it. And Sienna's supposed to be that good force.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about the magic sword and all that. And
yeah, no, I don't.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think her dad is Art.
Could be.
I think he is.
I mean, yeah, he did just disappear out of nowhere or something. Or he died. Yeah. It never shows him die.
Never really, yeah. It just tells that he went crazy.
Yeah, because in the first one, in the first Terrifier, it kind of confuses you. Like, it shows Vicky on the TV talking about it, and he gets mad and kicks the TV.
Yeah.
And then it makes you think, like, he's just went out after that. Like, he's doing a new killing spree, but it's actually telling the story of her surviving that. And then the second one is where he really kicks the TV and goes on a killing spree.
Yep. I think
that really confused me in the first one.
Yeah, they can. I love Terrifier. I have it ranked as my number two horror movie now of all time. I think they can do better at fleshing out the story. Don't get me wrong, I am here for the story. I'm on this ride. I love it. I love the direction they're taking it in.
I'm not sure about how I feel about the direction it's going in. Because, like I said, like in the first one, he's just a crazy guy killing people. I like that. I would have preferred, like, not exactly a Jason Voorhees background. Like, I don't want him, like, if they go into detail about his backstory, I don't want him to
have mommy issues.
Yeah, no, I don't want him to have been bullied as a child or anything. Something more like just him just always being an evil little kid.
Yeah, like a Jeffrey Dahmer kind of kid. Yeah, but yeah, no, I get that. That would be a lot better, and it would be not really unique, but it'd be better than seeing another carbon copy of Jason.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Shower scene was great. Top kill of the movie. Top kill of the franchise, I think, was the shower scene. But also the Santa Claus scene. The one where he goes to the bar and shoots that guy with the gun and freezes Santa Claus' legs. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
He used a flamethrower in part two and an ice machine in part three. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
I think they should... not because I have any problems with it personally. I think they should steer away from killing kids in the movie. Not because it's too far or anything, but just like they can't really show it.
Right.
I get for this one, they're just trying to show that he has no preferences. He kills anybody, anything that he can kill.
I agree. I can do without the kid killings, too.
Yeah, because, like, you can't really show anything. Like, when he goes and kills the little boy upstairs in the first thing, like, normally the camera would be in that room with him.
Yep.
But
you have to get sound effects.
You just get the sound effects. And then when he's giving gifts out and he blows all the kids up, like, it just shows a kid opening a box and then it zooms out and it's just a big explosion.
I'll be honest with you, that was one kill that I did not expect.
You really didn't expect that?
I expected them to be pulling out presents and to pull out a head or something, and that was the big thing. But no, to pull out a freaking bomb.
After he killed the kid at the beginning of the movie, I knew for a fact, like, he's probably going to kill some more kids.
I knew he was going to kill some more kids, but I didn't think he was going to blow them up with a bomb in the middle of a mall.
I didn't expect an explosion, but I knew something was coming that was going to, like, start getting people killed.
Yeah. And so that brings us to the end.
Because that's another thing, like, why would you bring that much attention to yourself in a big crowded place where people can just pin you down and stuff?
No, I get what you're saying.
Because he's not Michael Myers. He's not taking on an entire street, you know?
Right. I'm just happy you made a Michael Myers reference. I love Michael Myers. you're completely right. He would have been caught then, and it would have been over for him. But then that takes us to the end. I think it was very, like, on the nose. Like, they really showed, Christianity, like, kind of, like, hell and Christ and all that by putting the crown of thorns on her head. And, like, they were really deep into that. They was like, well, this is, I think it foreshadows part four. I think it's like, we're really going to hell for this one.
Because... little girl fell in
hell. Yeah, she fell. Yeah, what we can assume is hell. Yeah.
She said she's gonna get her.
Yeah, she said I will find you. Yeah. No, I get you.
Not unless we're getting like a supernatural crossover or something.
And Dean just comes in. It's like, where's this clown?
That's how he gets back from hell.
Yeah, I would love it.
Well, I know he went to heaven when he died the last time.
Oh, he did. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know how I feel about the sword and all that. But then. I thought it was a really cool Easter egg about how whenever he gets on the bus at the end, the woman who's reading the Ninth Circle, that was his first ever appearance. Yeah. The Ninth Circle, the short film. And that was a pretty cool callback. I don't know if it was a callback or if it's like...
I'd say it's just a reference.
It may be a reference, but like the Ninth Circle is hell supposed to be where Satan lives. So that's why my theory is I think he might be Satan. That's another theory I have. Because the Ninth Circle is supposed to be... the home of Satan, so...
I ain't never heard nothing about that. I never watched The Ninth Circle.
No, I mean, like, biblically, like the ninth circle is supposed to be.
Oh.
I think. I mean, again, don't quote me on that. It's just stuff I've read online about the movie. So anyway, rate Terrifier out of 5, Letterboxd. What'd you give it?
I think I gave it a 3.5.
3.5? I gave it a 5 out of 5. I absolutely love this movie. I can't find nothing that I don't like about this movie. And I challenge myself for movies that I don't, that I really love, to find little things I didn't like. And I guess if I had to pick something, it was that they weren't fleshing out the story enough. But it doesn't bother me enough to lower the ranking because I feel like they're going to do more with it.
Yeah. For me to give something a 5 out of 5, it's gotta make me want to buy merchandise.
It does. I'll get
like, it just does it for some people. Like right. I see it does it for you, but like I'm never gonna buy Art the Clown merchandise.
I would get an art tattoo tomorrow. I would get an art tattoo tomorrow.
Okay.
So you go to 3 out of 3, did you say, or 3.5?
3.5.
3.5. I gave it a 5 out of 5.
It might have been a 4. I don't know. Is it, we reviewed it. We watched it last Thursday.
Yeah, last week. This will bring us to our second movie. Do you want to start with your movies I picked for you, or your movies you picked for me? Which one?
We will start with... We can go with Abigail.
Abigail? Yep. All right. Our next movie is Abigail. You want to give your thoughts on it first? I can give mine, whichever one.
I thought it was a pretty cool take on mystery thrillers.
Yep.
You know, like those, like the ones that big group of people's invited to a house. Turns out it's a trap.
Yep.
Stuff like 13 Ghosts and Knives Out and whatnot.
Yep.
I thought that was cool. Like, I don't think... They may have done it before, but I don't think it's been done with a vampire before.
I can't recall one off the top of my head.
No, I can't either. That is cool that they used a little girl as a vampire.
Yeah.
Really made it like kind of hard to dislike the antagonist.
I agree.
Because it's a little girl. She's supposed to be like cute little ballerina.
Really, she's like 500 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The death sequence, kind of predictable. I knew it was either going to be Rickles or I forget McLeod's name in the movie.
Yeah.
I knew it was either going to be one of them first, and then it was going to be after those two. I knew it was going to be the big guy.
Kevin Duran.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be him. And then the blonde girl, and then I knew it was going to come down to the cop and the former junkie.
Yep.
I knew it was going to come down to those two.
I will agree with you. It was very predictable.
Yeah.
Like, I completely called Rickles going first, 100%.
He didn't go first.
Yeah, no, but that was my prediction. Like, I thought Rickles was going first. That's the only prediction of those I got wrong.
I mean, that's because of movie trope that black guys die first.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Just saying, I didn't. The only reason that I thought that was because he didn't get as much character development.
Yeah,
he
had the least character development.
He had the least lines.
Yeah,
like the only thing she could tell him during the interview scene was "Semper Fi." Like, so you know he's a Marine. That's the only thing you know about him. But this other guy who Angus Cloud played, I can't remember his name. Save my life in the movie, is like a getaway driver. He's funny. He's like a stoner. Like, you know, I mean, he has more character development. So I thought he would last a little bit longer than he did. But I was wrong on that. Do you have anything else to say about Abigail?
I don't know how I feel about them switching antagonists at the end. Like, I knew it was going to come down to those two people, like the cop and the former junkie. I don't, like I said, like, you made me spend a movie not liking somebody. Like, I'm not saying it's bad for doing it. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad movie for doing it. I just don't know how much I like that.
That's fair.
Like, you've had me going on a ride here, and now I don't like taking detours.
Right, no, I get you.
Like, you've changed the destination here.
Yeah, no, they changed vehicles. I don't know what you're talking about. They changed vehicles, destinations, the whole nine. I completely understand that because I was ready for him to become a vampire and then the junkie to become a vampire and then fight Abigail. That's how I thought it was going to go. When I think the one who played Gus in Breaking Bad, Carlos Espinosa, something. however you say his name. I'm going to call him Gus for continuity. When Gus showed up and was like, being the guy who pulled the strings behind it, I was like, okay, so he's going to buy him and her. They're all three going to fight Abigail. Dracula might show up, and that's how the movie will end. I did not expect for him to stake Carlos Esposito or as a character, you know. And that's another thing. Whenever they die and they blow up, that's freaking awesome. I absolutely love that effect. Like, other than, you know, we've seen vampires melt, we've seen them fall.
Well, in True Blood, they do that sort of.
Yeah, it's been.
It's not as big as, you know, Abigail, right. But they just.
It's been forever since I've seen True Blood. Like, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, you are right on that. I agree with you. I don't know how I feel about them changing the antagonist. Because, like you said, I'm hating Abigail this whole movie. Like, it's hard to hate her because she's a little girl, but she's killing, like a normal slasher, like a monster. Like, she's not a little girl. She's a monster killer.
Yeah.
But then they switch to one of the people who's been trying to kill her all movie. It's like, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
Anything else to say about it?
Yeah. What you said, you didn't expect him to stab Gus in the back. I immediately knew he was going to kill Gus as soon as he's like, I'm going to change you. I knew he was going to kill Gus. I didn't expect him to become the antagonist,
right. The
bad guy.
I thought if he killed him, he would at least kill him and her and him would team up.
Yeah.
Like, at the very
least. Honestly, it kind of had me going for a Steve Buscemi type deal in that movie Straw Dogs.
Straw Dogs. I don't think I've seen Straw Dogs.
I think it's a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Reservoir Dogs. Dude, yeah, I agree.
Like, I didn't expect Steve Buscemi to be the last guy, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
But that cop kind of gave me the same feeling that Steve Buscemi did in that movie.
Yep.
And that's why I thought, like, maybe he makes it out instead of this girl. But it is a classic, you know, mystery thriller.
Yeah.
3.5 stars for me.
3.5 stars. Well, I'll hold my rating until after I give some of my points here. The kid actor in that movie, she was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. She is. Yeah. I didn't catch her name, her real name.
I didn't get her name either.
But, yeah, she did really good. She did really good for a kid actor, especially when she is forced to cry and everything like that.
100%. She was fantastic. Just the way that she can go from little kid that you feel sorry for being kidnapped in the beginning to full-blown monster that you are supposed to be afraid of, and it works.
Yeah.
Like, she's going places.
Yeah.
Like, she is...
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised to see her in anything else.
Yeah, she was fantastic. And I'll watch whatever she's in, because I know now she's got the chops for it.
Yeah.
I will say this. It bugs me. It bugs me so bad that they don't ever say Dracula in this movie.
Right. Why?
Because he's Dracula. Like, you know he's Dracula. He's supposed to be Dracula. He's like, I've been known by many names. And he says the Count and stuff like this. And you're like, just say Dracula. Just go ahead. Just say it. It bugs me. Like, I don't know. Like, when he comes in at the end.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's another thing. I like that we got to see Dracula, but as soon as we did see him, underwhelming. Very underwhelming. He was not the Dracula I was expecting.
What was you expecting?
I was expecting someone a little more menacing.
Well, he looked like a decent vampire to me.
And he looked like a good vampire, but he looked like the vampire, the king of vampires.
He's a little, skinny, I guess, but...
Now, hands down, this is one of the best vampire movies to me. I'd put it in my top few vampire movies, right behind stuff like Fright Night and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Fright Night might be another one we review.
Are you talking about the 80s one or the remake?
Both.
Oh.
They both have their goods and their bads.
I guess.
That's a topic for another day.
Yeah.
The Peter played by Kevin Durant. Again, I've never seen Kevin Durant in something that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And he is a gentle giant in this movie. He's just an idiot and full of muscle and you want to love his character.
Yeah, I really liked his character.
I did too, and I really liked how they really fleshed out his character. They really gave you some backstory on him, made you care about him. So when they done with all the characters. The only character they didn't do that with was Rickles, I think.
Yeah.
But all the other characters, they made you care about them. And when they get killed off, you're like, man, I really didn't want him to die.
Yeah.
Like, and for me,
they gave some backstory, but they didn't really care too much for the blonde girl.
I thought they did. They told her about how she was a spoiled rich kid and she was doing it for the kicks. And
yeah, but there's like that one scene. But like, the only characters that they really fleshed out was the cop and Joey.
Yeah.
But then they're the only two to make it to the end, though.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it done a good job of making you care about all the characters.
Yeah.
And for me, especially a horror movie, makes you care about all the characters, that's a good horror movie for me. I love the blood and gore in this. No, it's not a lot of gore, but there's a lot of blood. And I'm a huge fan of bloody movies. That was one of my big qualms with the movie we have to review today. There was not enough blood. But, yes, the blood and gore was definitely up there for me.
And
this is also the last performance by Angus Cloud, who I have his name in my notes, Dean. He plays Dean. But this was the last performance by him, which... I mean, may not be. He may have recorded things that are shelved somewhere, but as far as I know, this is the last thing he played in because they have a big memorial for him at the end.
Yeah.
So, Melissa Barrera, the girl who plays the junkie,
yeah,
she nails another horror movie. She is becoming another horror movie icon.
I'm not big into horror movies. What else is she in?
Scream, mainly.
Scream.
And there's one more. I can't remember the name.
I've only ever seen the first one.
Ever seen more than Scream?
No.
I know what I'm making you review from now on.
I got.
We're getting all through all six or seven of them, baby.
Okay.
You can skip 3 and 4. They're not that good. No. I meant 2 and 3. 2 and 3. You can skip 2 and 3. I'd love 4.
Well, I watched the first one, but now I feel like I have to go straight to the second one. Why would I skip them?
They're not that good. You can take them or leave them, honestly. The fourth one's great.
I will watch them in order.
Like, I didn't say you. I'm not saying you can't watch them in order.
No, I mean, if you're going to give them to me, give them to me in order.
I will. That'll be for another day. How Abigail acts innocent at first really makes you, like, think of her as a little girl. This movie, I didn't realize. I just rewatched it whenever we decided to review it. I did not realize how long it takes to pick up. It takes a full-blown 50 minutes for, I think, 50 or 45 minutes for you to really get into this movie, like, when her start killing people. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's one big qualm I have with the movie.
Yeah, it's a long start.
Yeah. That actually impacted my review of it, because I had it... We'll give the rating at the end. But when it does start, it does not let up. When it does start, I think it is... a ride from beginning to end. I also like the chemistry between the characters.
That's something else. I feel like it took too long between the kills. I feel like they could have done is like had some more people in there. You know,
yeah.
Like you're taking a crime boss's daughter. You're gonna need a big team.
Yeah, 100%. They could have had a bigger kill count. They got a way higher body count.
Yeah.
Now, maybe a team of 10 people, at least.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I love how there's a scene where Abigail takes Kevin Durant's cross necklace.
Oh, yeah, and starts stabbing him with it.
And like, the movie's like, you know, kissing it and stuff because they're like crucifixes, and he's like pointing it around his neck, and she just immediately grabs
him. That whole scene was to show that nothing they had could stop her. Like, the only thing that could stop her was a wooden stake and
sunlight,
and they're not going to be able to use it on her.
Yeah. I freaking loved that, because she was just like, oh, yeah, a cross?
Yeah, because it really showed that she was toying with them.
Yeah.
Like, because she could have killed them all right then and there.
100%. Yeah, I agree. But for Abigail, I'm going to go ahead and give it... I did have it up as a 5 out of 5, and I promise I don't give 5 out of 5s that often. Like, movie has to be good for me to give it a 5 out of 5, but on a rewatch, I gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Thank you.
I love it. It's always, I think it's going to be a movie that I watch for Halloween, like every year. There's certain movies you got to watch every year for Halloween. I think that's going to be at the top of my list. Whenever someone mentions a vampire movie, that's going to be another one of my mentions is Abigail. I think this movie was awesome. I would love to see a sequel to it. I'd love to see Abigail back in the house with a whole other group of people doing the exact same thing. And normally, if a sequel copies the concept of the first one, I'm not a big fan. But she's already made it clear that she's done this to people before.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. In real life, she is a little girl. It's a ticking thing.
Yep.
So they might be able to make a movie within the same universe.
Right.
But they, like...
They could recast her.
Yeah, but do you really want to get her recasted?
Not at all. Not even a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
one more point that I do want to point out with this. Gus's character, I call him Gus, is extremely underused.
Yeah.
He is a fantastic actor, and they have him in, what, two scenes?
Budget.
I mean, yeah, but this movie would have been a 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10 for me if he would have had more screen time.
Something else. I knew immediately as soon as he left, I was like, okay, he set him up.
Yeah, I did too. 100% called that. Yep. Like, as soon as he left, I was like, yeah, that guy, he's feeding vampires tonight.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I knew it was a vampire movie. As soon as he left, I was like, okay, he set them up.
Yeah, 100%. But I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. You gave it a...
3.5.
3.5. That's good ratings. Okay, so that brings us to our third movie of the night, Every Which Way But Loose. You picked this movie for me. I'm going to go ahead and say I'm not the biggest Clint Eastwood fan. Yep. But I have not seen a lot of his movies. I've seen This Makes Four.
Yeah.
your face.
But anyway, go ahead.
I've seen Every Which Way But Loose, Every Which Way You Can, The Mule, and Gran Torino. And I'm not big on him. Maybe I need to watch more of him. But I think he plays every... So far, the one I watch, he plays the same character in every movie. Just a blue-collar, like, bad-to-the-bone kind of guy.
Yeah.
I would like to say the relationship between him and Clyde, amazing. I went into this movie. You gave it to me, and I looked at it, and I was like, I don't want to watch this movie.
Yeah, you would think, like, it's Clint Eastwood in a movie with a monkey. This is a career downhill.
100% thought that. I said this. I was like, man, I really don't want to watch this movie. I put it off for a good day or two. And then I was like, gotta watch it. So I watched it, and I was blown away by how much I liked it.
Yeah. Like, it's a really good movie.
Don't get me wrong, it's not like one of my favorites, but I will continue to watch this movie. Like, it has a lot of repeat watchability.
Yeah.
His relationship between him and Clyde, that's the kind of best friend I need right there.
The first person to ever recommend this movie to me was my dad, and like every time he'd recommend it to me or he'd tell me about it or how much he loved the movie, and I was just thinking, Clint Eastwood with a monkey, that just doesn't make sense. Like, why would I watch that? And finally, just one day I decided to sit down and watch it, and I was like, oh yeah, get him, Clyde.
Get him, Clyde, come on. Now, the old lady in the movie,
firecracker.
She was hilarious. Reminds me a lot of my mama. I swear to God. The bikers picking on Clyde in the movie.
Yeah.
The bikers for me in both of these movies, it goes for both of them, they're just extremely goofy.
Yeah.
Like, the scene where he goes into the diner and he's like, you know what this is? Talking about his tattoo. He's like, a tattoo? And he's like, no, what is it? He's like, an arm. Like, it's so funny. And he goes out and just fights these two bikers. Yeah. And the woman's talking to, like, his friend in the seat. And she's like, do you need to go out there and help him? He's like, no. And he keeps eating, like...
Yeah, he already knows Clint Eastwood's out there taking care of business.
For real. And Clint Eastwood is a cowboy in any movie he plays. Like, they knew whenever they cast him, like, we're getting a cowboy for this movie.
Yeah.
And then... The biker car wash scene where he's like, they're doing like a high speed chase and he takes them to the car wash. hilarious. I laughed really hard at that one. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, the bikers can't just fight Clint Eastwood. Like, they can't fight anyone.
Yeah.
There's a scene where they go back to the bar to fight somebody, and they fight a bunch of people at the bar, and they still get, like, they still get pounded into the ground. It's like, they just need to stop being criminals. They're not good at it.
Like, everywhere they go, they're just taking an ass woman.
Dude, for real, they're just punching bags. Like, and what got me, there's a scene, and I laughed way too hard, way harder than I should have. So when he's laying in bed with the girl, and Clint Eastwood runs in there, and they're trying to get Clyde, like, laid. And he runs in there to tell him, and he's wearing a hat, asleep. No clothes on, wearing his hat in bed. And he raises up to talk to him. He just has his hat on. I laughed way too hard at that. I was like, what? I pictured, that's how you sleep. I was like, I feel like you sleep in your hat.
Yeah. If I am not sleeping in my house, I am sleeping in my hat.
See, and then the old lady with the shotgun taking on the bikers, like, because they come back looking for Clint Eastwood's characters, and she's just on the porch, just picking them off. Oh, my gosh.
One of my favorite scenes, it's been a minute since I've seen these movies. I can't remember if it's from the second one or the first one, but the cop that's chasing him, and Clint Eastwood's sitting there in the water, standing in the water fishing, and he's getting ready to come up on Clint Eastwood, and then he sees that Clint Eastwood's got a big fish. He's like, oh, get it, and then he's like, give me that pole, you don't know what you're doing.
he's like fighting the fish with him. As soon as they get the fish in, he smacks him with it.
Yeah, and takes off.
One of the best scenes of that movie. One of my favorite parts, too, is also whenever that lady is picking him off with a shotgun, and she, like, quotes, like, this is her quote into the camera. She goes, I told those boys not to leave a vulnerable old lady alone. Like, you just killed 12 men.
Like, you just got into a big ordeal with a biker.
Yeah, you ain't no leave a vulnerable lady. Shut up.
No, he was a Marine sniper. Shut up.
She was a Marine. One thing that I also love is how he treats Clyde like one of the boys.
Yeah.
Like, he treats Clyde like if he was hanging out with, they had a third friend that was just very hairy.
Yeah.
Like, and I love that.
He treats him like the shy friend that don't talk to nobody.
Exactly, yes.
Like, what would you... Like, you quit messing with him.
Yeah, as soon as he gets picked on, hey, knock it off. Like, yeah. So what would you rate Every Which Way But Loose?
I give it a 4-star.
4-star? I give it 3. We will talk about this in a minute, though, but I significantly loved the second one more.
You love it, like, the second one a lot more?
A lot more. We'll talk about that in a minute, though. 3 out of 5 for me, 4 out of 5 for you. Fantastic movie. Highly recommend it. But, I mean, it's an oldie. People probably already seen it.
Yeah.
That'll bring us to our third movie, Summer of 84.
Yeah.
So, you want to go ahead with your topics on Summer of 84?
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of Stephen King's Silver Bullet. I know you said I asked you earlier, you'd never seen it.
Never seen it.
How much the background music plays and everything. Just a lot of Silver Bullet vibes from that movie.
I know. You told me that. I'm about to go back and watch that because I have...
Yeah. That'll, Stephen King. That can be one of the movies I give you. I liked how it stayed on point. I really liked that. It didn't have a lot of side story. I did like that. The villain in this... It's a mystery movie, I'm just telling the people. It's a mystery movie where these four boys are trying to figure out who's killing all the teenage boys in town. Well, the guy that they suspect, he's really good at...
covering his tracks.
Yeah. Not covering his tracks, but just... I think he's terrible at covering his tracks. But his the thing is, his character is so convincing, okay, this can't be him. He's, like, too good of a guy.
He's got all the parents on his side. Yeah. He's a cop.
He's almost got the viewer convinced.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you was in that neighborhood and you wasn't a viewer watching everything, like how the viewers watching out watching in, like he'd have you convinced.
Yeah, he would be Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
his kids Kool-Aid when they come by our juice boxes.
Okay, that's something else. I watched it with my girlfriend and
I got a hole in my lip.
I was watching it with my girlfriend and as soon as I seen him just 30, almost 40-year-old man sitting in his yard watching a bunch of kids play, handing them popsicles. I was like, okay, that will not fly today.
Yeah, no.
I was like, this has to be in the 80s.
There would be a Facebook post about that guy before the night.
Yeah, there would be a petition.
For real.
Yeah.
That's Herbert the pervert living up there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Popsicle.
For real.
Woody. I don't know how I felt about his death. Like, I liked him better than the other, besides Davy, I liked him better than the rest of his friends.
Which one's the one who always wore the leather jacket? I can't remember his name.
I can't
even. Is it Eat or something like that?
I think so.
Yeah, something stupid.
Yeah, but I like the nerdy kid the least.
Yeah, I do.
I
don't know, the guy with the leather jacket, I didn't really like him either. He was funny.
Yeah.
But as a friend, dude. Screw that guy. Like, yeah. He was the first one to bail on him. He was the first one to be like, nah, dude, you're wrong.
Yeah. Woody's death, I feel like it should have been one of his other friends, but at the same time, it wouldn't have meant as much. You know, it just would have been a dead kid.
Yeah.
But Woody, you know, he had his he was leaving his single mom behind, working 16-hour shifts to take care of him. Kind of makes you feel like, oh, man, she's worked for nothing now.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, I agree. Because more young.
It feels like you're watching an 80s movie. Like, if you go back and watch any 80s movie.
Don't you love that?
Yeah, that's like, it's a good, like, it's, yeah, a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it genuinely feels like you're in the 80s watching a movie about something currently happening.
Yep.
Like, it feels like a real 80s movie.
The 80s was the time for horror.
Yeah. Anything you?
Yeah. So I wish we would have seen the kills. There's plenty of talks about kills of him killing these children. I wish we don't have to see the kills of another children and all that. But I wish we would have seen like either the after of it. Like we see two kids tied up in his basement, well, one tied up, one dead. I wish we'd have seen more of him abducting kids, or you know, keeping them held hostage, stuff like that, just to.
Yeah. If it was like a true horror movie, I'd agree with you. But I enjoyed it the way it was.
It's a mystery.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
Yeah, no.
I don't want it to like. I want to be on edge like the entire.
You
want
to not know if he's the killer or not.
Yeah, I like I want to be like, okay, maybe he's not the killer.
Yeah.
Okay, he is, and then like right at the end.
I knew whenever he picked up his phone to call his nephew. I knew he was going to call his house. I knew that the first time I watched it. I thought he was going to call his house, or he was going to call like the police station or something, like, or a buddy or something like that. When he went in and was like star 67 or star 69 or whatever, he called the operator, and it was his number, like across the street. He just called his own house. That was awesome. Like, it was predictable, but that was like the nail in his coffin. Be like, he's the killer. Like,
yeah.
I wish there had been more blood. When we did see the kills, when we did see them held in the basement, I mean, the body in the basement was pretty gory.
Yeah.
But I wish we would have seen a little bit more of that. Like, it showed it for maybe 5-10 seconds.
Yeah, but that's the thing of a mystery.
Yeah,
you
know, I know. I'm not saying it was bad. Like, I take it for what it is. I loved this movie. It's one of my favorites. The Mackie's friendly demeanor, like, that's the guy's name, Mackie.
Yeah.
The cop. His friendly demeanor that he has through the entire movie really makes you think he could just be.
Yeah, he doesn't break that until they break it.
Yeah, until they know for a fact he's the killer.
Like, yeah, until they got video proof that, you know, he's been doing this.
Yep. The friend group, like the conversations they had through the whole movie, again, this is another good example of a movie making us care about the characters,
yeah,
making us know that they got chemistry, because they are having nerdy conversations like me and you or any of our friends would have.
Yeah.
Like, that's a real conversation you have. And just the given backstory on the kid in the leather jacket. I want to say his name's Eat or something. How he has a rough home life. Woody has a rough home life, and then the main character, his mom and dad's not really there. His dad's working away all the time. I think that it gave us enough detail about the characters to really make us care about them.
Yeah.
So when one of them does die, you're like, man, I really hate that.
Okay, yeah. Because I did feel like I knew somebody, at least one of them in the friend group was going to die. I didn't know who.
I honestly thought it was going to be the Eat guy.
Yeah, I did.
My money was on him the whole time.
Yeah, if I did have to place a bet, it would have been him because, like, he's, like, the edgy guy, you know. Yeah. But, Maggie, he didn't, like, he really didn't break his nice guy demeanor until, like, the very end.
Till they caught him, till they had him dead to rights.
Yeah.
Like, even whenever everyone was accusing him, he was like, no, we can squash this right now. Yeah. It's no big deal.
And, as soon, like, whenever all the cops showed up and he's like, he's not in his house. And he's on the loose. I was like, okay, he's somewhere close.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't think he was gonna be in the freaking attic.
I didn't think he was gonna be in the attic either. But
I think he was in the house. I thought he was in the neighborhood. I thought he was gonna show him breaking into the house. No, it's some kind of freaking attic.
Yeah, I was like, okay, he is, like, he's in their backyard or something.
He's in their doghouse. Yeah.
It would have been really scary if he was under the bed or something.
Yeah, and then did you just see the hands come up? Yeah.
Like that Family Guy Willem Dafoe scene. I had a Willem Dafoe under my bed.
Yes. The big thing for me was the fact that the kids solve the mystery before anyone else does.
Yeah. I mean, but who has more time on their hands than 15-year-old kids?
You got me there. And they probably would have never even started looking if they weren't playing a game at night.
Yeah.
You're like, so yeah, no, I get that. The 80s setting, like you said, it makes you feel like you're in the 80s. Makes you feel the time period. Like, everything about it, this movie, it screams 80s.
Yeah, it for sure makes you feel like you are watching an 80s movie.
Yeah. Makes you feel like, oh, I'm going to watch Friday the 13th. Like, yeah. Like, no, I feel you like that. That's one of the biggest pluses. That's why I love Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Because the whole aesthetic of Stranger Things, like, I'm for that.
Yeah, but this does it more than Stranger Things.
100%. It does it better than Stranger Things.
Yeah, it does it way better than Stranger Things.
I agree. The killer's bedroom in the basement, I wish it would have talked more about that. Like, it was supposed to be his bedroom or something as a kid. I wish it would have touched more on that because that was touching more into his psychological lore.
Well, it set itself up for a sequel.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I just want to say, the ending to this movie, if a grown man, whenever I was 15 years old, had cut my friend's throat in front of me, he's like, I'll come back for you one day, I would never sleep again. Like, that's scarier than...
I'll do you one better. I would find him.
I would hunt him down. 15 years old, yeah. No. We'll talk about the ending. Like, them killing Woody off is definitely a no-go for me. I wish he would have survived. I understand why they done it. Like, I understand, like, he had the upper hand on them. The whole thing is supposed to be he's in control now. He's going to be controlling their lives even when he's not in it. And that kid's going to have to look over his shoulder the rest of his life.
Yeah. No. I don't know how I feel about Woody's death because, like I said, his death means more than anybody else's to me.
Yep. And he was such a lovable character.
Yeah, he is a really lovable character. Is why his death meant more to me. Like, I wouldn't have cared as much as one of the other two. The only person I would have cared more about is if it would have been Davey, the main character, Davey, the main character, or that his love interest in the movie.
Can't remember her name either.
Yeah.
I thought that was the love interest I could have took earlier. Like,
yeah, that's another thing. It, like how I said, it stayed on point. It doesn't really touch a lot on the love interest.
Right, and I like that. Like, I get the love interest. I get every horror movie has a love interest, just about, or a lot of them do anyway. I like how it does not touch on that. Like, it makes you focus on the killer, focus on the task at hand. You're not worried about this kid's summertime hookup. Like,
yeah,
I love that. His parents, when they were wrong, to ground him whenever, like, they find the footage.
Yeah, they're like,
do you understand? Like, I would have never let my dad hear the end of that.
Oh, no.
I'd be like, you get me new TVs, a new, like, in the 80s, new comics, you know what I mean? Like,
I stomped a serial killer, Dad.
Yeah, and you grounded me for it.
Yeah. I tried to tell you something. You didn't want to listen. Listen to the police chief. I'm a hero.
Now, Mackie saying he'll be back. Like you said, set up for a perfect sequel. I would love to see a sequel.
Yeah, because when he's delivering papers at the end, it says he's still on the loose.
Yep. I would love to see a summer of, like, 94. Time jump 10 years. He's a grown adult.
I don't want to go 10 years. That seems like too far.
I'd like to see him in college then.
I want him to be maybe a senior in high school. Because, again, like, he's killing young boys.
Right.
Like, he's preying on people much smaller and weaker than him. Like, why would he come back as an adult when, you know, like, you've just basically made this kid train for you?
Yep.
Like, why would you do that? Like, come back maybe as a senior and hopefully, like, he hasn't hit too much puberty.
Right. I get you. I don't know. I'd like to see him as an adult, but I'd like to see that too. I'd like maybe three movies.
Yeah, like,
three movies might be too much, though.
I feel like as an adult, Davey should be more able to handle himself.
Yeah.
So if he's, like, still in high school, he's still figuring things out. Like, he's not going to know what to do. He's going to panic more.
Yep.
You know?
No, I agree. I would like to see, you know, either one.
Summer of 87.
He said 3 years?
Yeah.
Whenever he says it's the protagonist's fault, Maggie's like, you took my life. It's all your fault. Bro, it kind of is. Like, it kind of, you should just live well enough alone.
It is, but it isn't. Like,
the moment he comes out of the basement, I'm sorry, this will make me think maybe it is, maybe it isn't, because the moment he comes out of the basement and sees, like, the pictures on the wall and puts two and two together and is like, those are his victims, and then he sees a picture of himself, maybe Mackie was always planning on killing him, but maybe he only planned on killing him once he started to...
If he only planned on killing him once, but then again, he never killed any of the kids from the neighborhood.
Right.
It was always like across town.
Because they actually touch on that. They're like, what are you worried about that for? It's three counties away. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, he knew, like, I think if he wasn't already planning it, he started planning it when he found the walkie-talkie.
Yeah, I agree. If he wasn't, that would have been the point where he's like, okay, got to kill this kid. Because he's looking right at him. He just leaves the walkie in the window.
Yeah. Finally, I have a good reason to kill this kid.
Yeah, finally.
Oh, man, I've been hoping he'd figure something out. So,
if this boy would just left well enough alone.
It'd be more dead kids, but, you know.
Woody would be alive. What's your ranking for it?
3.5.
I gave it 4.5. I was on the verge of giving it 5. I teetered on this a lot. I gave it 4.5 purely because of the lack of blood, lack of kills. I get some mystery. I love that. But I would like to have seen it be a little more violent. If I'm watching a horror movie, I like violence. So.
See, I felt it was... it's a good movie. I gave it a 3.5 because it's not really that rewatchable for me. I'm not going to want to watch this a lot.
Once you know the mystery and, like, know what's going to
happen. I know how it's going to go.
I've seen it a few times.
Yeah, I already know how it's going to go. I gave it a 3.5 because, like I said, it's not as rewatchable for me. It's a great movie. It really is. If you haven't seen it, well, we've ruined it for you. but it's a great movie.
So, 4.5 out of 5, 3.5 out of 5. That'll bring us to our last movie. And we kind of got to make this one a little speedy because the episode's kind of running a little long. So we got Every Which Way You Can, the sequel to Every Which Way But Loose.
Yeah.
I think I significantly like this one more. I gave the original 3 out of 5. I'm going to go ahead and tell you I gave this one 3.5 out of 5. I teetered on giving it a 4. The relationship with him and Clyde, there's a lot more Clyde in this one.
Yeah, you're going to have to get me up to speed. I only got to watch the first one before the podcast. So.
Yeah, and it's been years since you've seen the sequel. Yeah. So, yeah. There's a lot more Clyde in this one.
Yeah.
And I think it was because of the success of the first one.
Yeah.
People were probably like, we need to see more of the
monkey. More
yeah.
Clyde.
Yeah, more, which is fine. And the fact they put a watch on Clyde, he has like a watching watch. And Clyde's the best part of this whole movie.
Yeah.
And like I said, more of him. There's more fleshed out fights in this one. The beginning, the cops put on the first fight. And Clyde keeps, there's a running joke where Clyde keeps crapping in their cars. Like whenever they go to like stop whatever, you know, clinics was doing, like it shows Clyde sneaking in and like them just crapping in the. So one thing I wanted to talk about though, really like about this movie, there's no way it would have ever got a PG rating today.
No.
I watched that movie. There, it is so sexual.
Yeah.
There's a lot of strip poker played. There's a lot of sex in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, and there's violence and cursing, and there's no way it's been, like, you, that's how you know the 80s was a lot stronger than us. Was it the 80s when it came out, 80s, 70s?
Early 80s.
Yeah. That's how you know the 80s was a lot stronger than us. Yeah. Because they're like, oh yeah, kids can watch this, no problem. And you can see the woman's, like, titties through her shirt.
Technically, I was a kid when I watched it. But.
Yeah. but the bartender that serves Clyde just comes up to the bar and is like,
yeah.
He just gives him a beer. And one of my favorite parts of this whole movie is when the guy sitting next to Clyde's like, says, when did you start serving apes in here? And like the bartender's like, you better just leave him alone. and he just looks at him and is like, I'll throw him out. And Clyde just takes the metal bar and just bends it in front of him. That guy just sits back down.
Yeah.
It's so funny. So Clyde keeps stealing that woman's Oreos in this one. The one big problem I have with this one is that woman is featured a lot less in this one. She was a highlight of the other one. I wouldn't say it's that she's featured less. It's the fact that she doesn't have big parts and scenes.
Yeah.
Like in the last one, she was shooting bikers with shotguns. And this one, she's just sitting at her kitchen table complaining.
Yeah.
And it's funny, but it's not as funny as her with a shotgun.
Yeah.
So another part is whenever, like, these are all my favorite parts of the movie, like why I rated it and how I did, was they offer a clinic with a fight. They're like, we'll give you $10,000 in advance. And he's like, Clyde's my manager, give it to Clyde. And he's like, okay, who's Clyde? And Clyde just like taps on him. He's like, you want me to give $10,000 to a chimpanzee or to an orangutan? And he's like, yep, he handles all my finances. That guy just looks at him like he's crazy. Like, okay.
What they don't know is that that's a trustworthy orangutan.
That is a trustworthy orangutan. I trust him.
One of my favorite, I think it's the second one. My favorite scenes is they break into the zoo to get Clyde laid.
That's in the second one.
Yeah, okay.
No, that's in the first one, but they go to kidnap one in the second one. They break into the zoo to get laid in the first one. In the second one, they're like, we'll take her to the hotel with us.
Yeah.
And he has the drugs to knock her out, and it's in a banana. He's like, all right, we'll throw her this banana. If she doesn't eat it, we'll get down there and we'll jab her with this. And Clyde just jabs himself in the leg with it and passes it. And Clint Eastwood carries him to the truck, and the woman's like, what happened? And he said, I got the only orangutan that to ever live that is a dope addict. That part had me rolling.
Yeah.
And then whenever he says, Clyde, scrap that guy's car, like, because he's scrapping cars for the whole movie, and like that guy pulls in to get his money back, and he's like, Clyde, scrap his Cadillac, and he comes out there and he's just ripping car parts off and throwing them. Clyde makes this movie.
Like, yeah.
If you would have called it Clyde the Orangutan, I probably would have still watched it and had it just as good a time. The bikers driving through the tar, there's a scene where they drive through a tar machine and get covered in tar. That would have murdered all of them. Yeah. Not to burn their skin off, but really they just stiffened up like statues and he took them to the hospital. These movies have a running cowboy theme.
Yeah.
Like, he's a cowboy, straight up. So, what I did like about this is it wasn't just him going in bare-knuckle brawls. It was the other fighter actually came out like and showed a mutual respect with him. Like, he helps him through the movie. When they kidnap his love interest, he immediately comes to Clint Eastwood and he's like, I know where they're keeping her. Let's go get her. Like, it's not like him versus the other protagonist versus an antagonist. It's, you know, that protagonist versus this corporation or this group of people. And who was supposed to be the antagonist or who you thought would be the antagonist is like, let's go get her. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
Like, it was, and they call off the fight after placing all these bets and stuff on the fight. And him and Clint Eastwood are like, yeah, we'll just, you know, not do it because we don't want to make this group of people rich. And then they get out and they're like, I wonder who would have won that fight. And then they just start fighting anyway. And everyone who makes bets starts running out, making their bets again. Like, that was kind of ridiculous. I wish they would just fought.
Yeah.
Like, the whole...
Well, that's what makes it funny, though.
Yeah, well, the whole 10 minutes of them going, oh, we ain't going to fight, make this guy rich. And then they fight anyway. It's kind of...
Yeah.
For me. Anyway, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Loved it. Do you know enough to rate it again, or...?
I'll stick with your... I'll trust your rating. I'll go 3.5.
I think it was significantly
better. I might change it if I watch it.
Yeah. Like I said, he's watched it before. It's just been years.
Yeah. I think 2015 was the last time I watched it.
Yeah, so almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I think it holds up well.
Yeah.
I think the first one does not. The first one's a little cheesy for my liking. It doesn't hold up to this day and age, but the second one holds up a lot.
Yeah.
That's it, unless you want to say anything else.
No, we're good.
I will say this. Next week will be our Halloween episode.
Oh, yeah.
We will be reviewing Smile and...
The second Smile.
Yeah, Smile 2. And Mr. Crockett, I think it's called. I don't know if it's called Crocker or Crockett. It's a Hulu streaming one. It's supposed to be like Mr. Rogers if you have
24 hours. Okay. Yeah.
We'll be reviewing both of those. And plus, we have about 10, 15 different Halloween topics we'll be covering, such as different final girls we prefer, slashers, stuff like that. That'll be next week. And then the week after that, I believe we review Venom. Don't quote me on that. It could be the week after.
I think we watch it next week.
And then we review it the week after.
Yep.
Yeah, so at the end of our Halloween episode, we'll go ahead and reveal what two he's picked for me and what two I picked for him and what ones we'll be going to the theater and watching.
Yep.
So, that worked?
Yep. Like, comment, and subscribe. Tell us how you liked our intro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got a new intro. Tell us how you like that.
All right.
Later.